Last time we had a christening, we were doing jigsaw puzzles, if you remember. This time it's slightly different. Right, so I've got everything. So, I'm just wondering if anyone thinks that they've got quite a good sense of taste, not just in what you might be wearing. You're all very tasteful, but who thinks they've got a good... Let's have... Come on, right, give us a... We're going to have... This is Rachel. Welcome, Rachel, everybody. Thank you so much. And perhaps a couple of other people. Come on then. You've got a cold, so you can't taste anything. Do you want to come and have a few tasting? Anybody else here? Oh, I bet. Let's have Val. Come on. Right. So, there we go. Let me just. So, I've got, probably saw, I've got three glasses here with some water in them. Yeah? Just going to give them all a bit of a stir here. And they're salty. I'm just going to give you a glass of water, just in case you need to cleanse your palate after. And I want you to... Let me know which one you think is the saltiest. This is just ordinary water, by the way. Less salty, or maybe not salty at all. And I'm not going to have you drinking all out of the same glasses, beside which it might not taste very nice. I've got some cotton buds here, which I'll soak. And you can have just a little sort of suck on them, as it were. Roll it around your tongue. Some parts of our tongue are very good at tasting salty things, et cetera, et cetera. So, and then you can tell me which one you think is most salty, a little bit salty, not at all salty, yeah? There we go. Rachel's having a good suck on that one. This one is the purple glass. No? Okay. Take the other end of your cotton bud. Let's dip it in this one. Give it a good swizz around. What's the verdict on that one? Not too salty. Medium salty. So you're going to need a new cotton bud for this one. Do have a swig of your water if you need to sort of swish your mouth out, otherwise you might not be able to. Okay, ready? What are we on? Pink. Here we go. Give it a good swish around. So which order? Very salty. Do you want to try any of them again to sort of verify? So you thought the middle one is the most salty one, and the first one that you tried was the least. No salt? No? Okay, righty-ho. Thank you so much. You can give my assistants a round of applause. Very good. So they successfully identified the most salty one, but actually, even the one that didn't taste salty at all was salty because it had a few little grains of salt in it, but not enough really to be able to taste it. Okay. I've got another little experiment. They could all go horribly wrong, you realise this, don't you? So the first one that you tried was the purple one. This is an egg, ordinary egg. Is it going to float or sink, do you think? Joseph, you're spot on. It sank. So I'm going to take another egg, another ordinary egg. Which one did you think was the most salty? This is one in the middle. Is it going to float or sink? very clever. You're going to be a scientist when you grow up, aren't you? The more salt in it holds the egg up. It's able to hold the egg up. So why am I telling you all about salt? Well, Jesus said to his followers, we heard what he said, you are the salt of the earth. And we might be used to using that phrase, you might have heard that phrase, when we talk about someone who's just really good, and they're the salt of the earth. But this is where the phrase comes from. But it's a bit of a strange thing to say, isn't it, really? You're the salt of the earth. So maybe we should probably try and think, what did Jesus mean by that? And it might start to help us think about it. If you could put my first slide up, Harry. It might help us to understand if we try and think about what do we use salt for? What sorts of things do we use salt for? Any thoughts or answers? Seasoning. So it makes things sort of taste better, doesn't it? Probably when it comes to salted caramel, in my opinion, there is no such thing as too much salt. I really love my salted caramel, very salty. Things taste better, we enjoy them more. Maybe Jesus is saying, I want you to go and help make life better for people so that they can enjoy it more. What else can it do? What else do we use salt for? I couldn't hear that. Cleansing. Yes, we use it, you might bathe something in salt water because it does kind of kill germs. And, maybe Jesus is saying, I want you to be helping the world to heal from whatever is ailing it. What else can we use it for? Preservation and melting ice, I heard. So preservation, yes, if you salt meat, it preserves it, doesn't it? So is there something about Jesus saying, I want you to help preserve the good in society, in the communities around you, and to stop things decaying? And then we talked about, or somebody mentioned, ice melting. So we use it to maybe make things safer for people, don't we? Make the roads safer. And Jesus might be saying, I want you to go and make your communities better and safer. So all those things are quite clever, really. It's all wrapped up in him saying, be the salt of the earth, that we can bring, make life better for people, that we can bring healing. That might mean healing of relationships as well as physically helping people, that we have a role protecting society from perhaps the bad things that can happen to people, so that life is better and safer for people. Should have given a trigger warning in case there's any vegetarians sitting here, sort of, but that is some nice ham there. So that's what being the salt of the world means. Now, we can do that on our own, sure, but then we're like sort of little individual grains of salt that were in this glass, and not really perhaps be able to have much of an effect on our own, just a few little grains. But together, if there's a lot of us working together, bringing all of our grains of salt together, we can make quite a big difference, can't we? Being together helps us to stay more salty, but it also helps us to make more of a difference as well. At St. Mary's, we've been spending the last few weeks thinking about hope. And when St. Paul wrote that letter, he's very clear, isn't he, that if we know the comfort and then hence the hope of God's love ourselves, it's so that we can give that comfort, bring that comfort and that hope to others as well. We don't keep it for ourselves. And we do that by being the kind of salt that Jesus wants us to be. And yes, we can do it on our own, but how much more can we do it when we come together? So there might be more we can do to uphold people and help them when we all work together and are salt together. When someone's baptized, you've heard us talking about them joining the family of the church so that together we can support them. Together we can support Olivia and uphold her in her life, whatever she may face along the way. And that's what, as a church, we can offer one another, and as I say, to Olivia and her family. And today, it's a celebration for us as Olivia is baptized, because she adds more grains of salt. She's another grain of salt added to us that helps our saltiness and helps us to be the salt of the world that Jesus wants us to be. But Jesus also talked about light as well, didn't he? And at the end of the service, we're going to give Olivia a candle. And we light it from this big candle here, which is a very special candle. We get a new one each year. And the first day that we light it is on Easter morning. And it symbolizes for us the resurrection of Jesus. That's Jesus rising to new life again, rising from the dead. And in John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And I wonder, you know, what he might meant by that as well. And just a bit like salt, there's various things that we need light for, aren't there? We need it for life. Plants don't grow very well in the dark. We need it for guidance, for avoiding the dangers of life. And perhaps we need it for comfort as well, like a nightlight. I think Jesus is saying, "I can be your guide, I can be your comfort and your strength, and I can be your life." And so when we give that light from that big candle, and we give the candle to the person being baptized, it's a reminder that Jesus can be all those things for them, and also that they carry a little bit of Jesus within them. That's his Holy Spirit. And he can give them all the things that they might get from light, the guidance, the comfort, the life. And through all of those things, hope as well. But in the reading we had this morning, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Now we carry that light that he gives us out into the world. So you don't just get a candle when you're christened. You now are the candle. So you don't just have a candle. You become that candle to take that light out wherever you go. Whoever you're with, you can bring that light. So it's great that we can be people who bring light and hope to others. And Jesus used the singular when he said "you." So he's saying, like, Val, you are the light of the world. Rod, you are the light of the world. David, you are the light. He's talking to each of us as individuals that we can go and be the light. And of course, even being individual lights, if we all bring our light together, how much more does that light up our communities, our families and friends? If we can bring that love and hope with us that we get from Jesus. So it's not just our prayer for Olivia this morning. That is the prayer for each and every one of us. Amen.